against the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. Real quick before you turn next guest, programming note. I failed to do this in the last segment, but on tomorrow's program, our usual Friday lineup, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, April Refogle, Alabama Today, and State Senator Chris Elliott. But also we'll have on who will be, I think, the new AL1 congressman, but we'll have Barry Moore on as well. So make sure you tune in on tomorrow's show. But joining us now, it has been a while, but it's always a pleasure to talk to my friend from North Alabama, Stan McDonald. Stan, good morning. How you been?
I'm doing wonderful, Jeff. Great to be with you today. It's been a while, but I'm always thrilled to be on air with you.
Hey, thanks for making time here. Well, we're going to get into it now, I guess. And you and I have talked a little offline about this, but you decided to come out, I guess, publicly to talk more about this. The ethics bill that made its way out of the House yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I should say, sponsored by State Representative Matt Simpson from our listing area, and it was sort of your reaction to it. Tell us a little bit where you are and what you think, the way you think this ought to be handled.
Sure. I'm on the Alabama Ethics Commission myself. I've been on there almost 5 years now. Of course, we don't get paid anything to do that, but I have a front row seat and know the job that we've been doing and know the job that the executive director and the staff, the legal staff and the investigators do. And I will tell you the representations that I hear from Representative Matt Simpson. First off, we never see him anywhere at any of our ethics committee meetings, but it's the way that they're trying to reform this thing and the way they talk about it is two inconsistent matters, and it's not recognizable. I want to tell you, your listeners, some history. In 2010, Bob Riley saw fit as to the last thing he was able to do was to reform Alabama ethics laws. You know, he had trouble with a Democratic House and Democrat-controlled Senate for 8 years. Kind of difficult to get through some of the Republican-conservative things that he wanted to do. So in 2010, the big move amongst plenty of good Republican ideologically sound challengers was the handshake with Alabama, kind of similar to Newt Gingrich did with the contract with America. And so we won on those things with a bunch of true believers that served well. And as I said, one of the first things that they did once they took office was pass a bill, which Riley called the best ethics bill in the country. Well, that bill, according to the American, if you look at the American Policy Institute, which is really a bellwether organization to describe best practices for ethics commissions across the country, it is very consistent with what they've done. Things are very important there, like insulating the ethics commission from politics. We can talk about that more in a minute, where this new bill breaks that wide open. But one of the things that I think is going to be most notable to listeners is that there was significant gift bans done in 2010 by this Republican legislature. I'm going to suggest right now that this bill gives a gift allowance and gives some loopholes that any Montgomery lawyer can help their legislator drive a Mack truck through, or maybe I should say a Brinks truck. There's going to be unlimited opportunities for unlimited gifting, or opportunities for unlimited gifting and undisclosed gifting. There's about three different ways. And I don't think the average Alabamian right now knows the move that's underway, and they're throwing things out there which are distracting from it. But I would love nothing more than to come on the air with Matt Simpson and talk to him specifically about how he's taken the gift ban and turning it into gift allowances. I'll debate him on that. I know he's a former prosecutor, so I'll use terms he can understand. I'd love for him to face my cross-examination about how this legislation is going to be a great big rollback and relaxation of Alabama's ethics laws at a time I think we can ill afford it. I already am very dubious about some of the things that this Alabama House of Representatives is supposed to be chock full of principled conservative Christians who somehow have voted through the largest gambling expansion known in our lifetime. I mean, 10 casinos, sports betting, and internet gambling, for crying out loud. I don't think that's what people thought they meant when they said principled conservative Christian all over the airwaves in this most recent election. I don't know what these freshman House members are doing. I'll be perfectly blunt with you about that.
Well, Stan, let's kind of back it up here. And you know, I don't necessarily debate the merits of Matt Simpson's bill at this point. I mean, we obviously are. But is there something that needs to be done with the existing ethics framework, and just kind of lay it out for you? I mean, like, you have this weird turf war between the commission and the AG, and you have these unexpired terms or these expired terms that are, you know, being prolonged. I mean, we had to get into that, but I mean, just that there are things that maybe this isn't the answer that Matt Simpson's pushing. But are there things that, in your view, that need to be done to kind of tighten things up a little bit?
Well, thank you for bringing those two things up, and I'll try to answer all three of those things. But number one, Attorney General Marshall shares my position on this. He has come out against this legislation as well. Now, he is a learned enough, excellent lawyer to where I shouldn't probably argue point by point exactly what he says, but he is against this, and I think he's concerned that some of the things that have traditionally been under the Ethics Commission have gone from being a criminal conduct to now a civil conduct. He calls the thing, in his words, watered down. Now, I'm sure that General Marshall can speak even more on this, but we are together that this is a bad piece of legislation. The other thing that you said, which I'm glad you brought up, Matt Simpson actually has implied somehow that those of us on the commission who have overstayed our term, we have nothing to do with how long we stay on the commission. And he implies that we need accountability because we're staying on there too long. I am more than happy to be replaced. More than happy to. Now, I'm not the one that's my term's up yet. There's two others older than I am. But, you know, Governor Ivey and Speaker of the House and the Lieutenant Governor, and they're supposed to take turns doing, you know, when they replace somebody. We're all more than happy to be replaced. But I don't feel like I should just quit going to the meetings just because they haven't done the replacement. And so, really, I take it as a personal offense when Matt Simpson implies that I'm somehow doing something that needs to be held accountable to the public. I mean, it's that kind of misdirection stuff that, frankly, has me rather angered. And I'm angry because, you know, I really hate to see the general public, the fine people of Alabama, subjected to such disingenuous distraction. That is, I'd love to talk to them about that one as well, but I have absolutely nothing to do with the fact, if I stay on longer than August, to do that. Now, the other thing was, is there changes we can make? Well, I will tell you one thing that also General Marshall said. I mean, he may know of some changes. There were some changes that were recommended in 2018 by an ethics reform commission that are being utterly ignored. And that was signed off on by 22 stakeholders, including Matt Simpson. And he is utterly ignoring that. For some reason, something has changed in the water they're drinking down there in Montgomery, Alabama, where the hard-fought Ethics Reform Committee from 2018, which General Marshall was on, as was Matt Simpson, that's no longer any good. And that specifically said that there did not need to be a significant rewrite of the ethics law, but now they're calling this a repeal and replace. What new, pray tell, is going on which people cause people to change their position 100%? I mean, I don't know. Is there a new industry coming to town who would like to have significant sway in the member halls of the legislature? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, this is my observation, and you can get you to respond to this. When freshman lawmakers go through orientation, they go through like, well, this is the ethics framework that you're living under now. You know, things are going to change in your life or whatever. And the way it's explained to me, Stan, is when they bring in three attorneys, I have no idea who they are, but they're like so-called experts on Alabama's ethics laws. And you know, these lawmakers will ask them a question, well, can I do this or can I do this or is this allowed? Or, and you'll get three different answers. And what it tells me, and this is the way I'm interpreting, is that the ethics laws are maybe a little broadly interpreted. And anytime you have something like that that can be broadly interpreted, it just kind of leaves it open-ended, and it opens up the possibility of a rogue prosecutor or a rogue element in law enforcement or whatever, you're weaponizing it against a political opponent. Like, when I say tightened up, can we just go through and like make sure that it's not so broadly interpreted that we have clear black and white ethics laws in this state?
Well, Simpson is very sloppy in his undermining of this Ethics Commission, by the way. And that's what he's trying to do, is undermine the Ethics Commission and undermine the confidence in the work that we're doing. And myself and the other people, Chief Justice Lynn Stewart, John Plunk, the Honorable General Admiral Edward Crowell out of Montgomery, we take personal offense to some of the stuff that Matt Simpson has said. And I'd be glad to be on the show with him. And one of the things is his implication that we have something to do with overstaying our term. Also, guess what? The Ethics Commission, nor the Ethics Director, nor its attorneys prosecute anybody, but he still continues to use those terms, even though he calls himself a prosecutor. Now, words matter in legal diction, but we are not prosecutors. Furthermore, I forget what else that you caused me to want to say, but I mean, Simpson is doing a sloppy job. I know what it was, the three different opinions. Look, okay, if you're a legislator, and here's something else he said that's a cheap shot and makes him sound like a Democrat. In fact, I will tell you, that man 15 years ago was a Democrat because he still has the same, and I don't know this for a fact, but I know them when I hear them. But he says this, he goes, you know what's legislators, when we call down there, they'll answer our question. But what about the firefighter? What about the school teacher? What about the little man? They won't answer his call. Who said? Give me some evidence of that, Mr. Prosecutor. Tell me one thing that you're doing there other than doing that class warfare stuff that you Democrats like to do. That's why I'm calling him a Democrat. Love to talk to him. I'm for the little man. I heard the little man call the big Montgomery mule down there and couldn't get an answer. I'm for the little man. How admissible is that to really make decisions on? I'm telling you, I'm there on the front row, never seen Matt Simpson. And let's talk about calling down there and getting informal opinions. There's two ways to get an opinion in the Ethics Commission. One way is to get an official opinion. That's when you go public. And when you get an official opinion, it's well thought out, and you can rely on that. The person doing the asking relies, and it's public. You can also get an informal opinion, and the informal opinion is entirely private. And you can, that if you ever get in trouble with it, you can use it, and it's admissible as evidence in a court of law. Now, just because it's admissible as evidence, that doesn't mean that what they asked you is what they actually did, so you can still get in trouble. But what I'm specifically answering right now is the assertion that they've got three different answers. You know, who said they got three different answers? I want to see those three different answers. Be more than happy to see it.
Well, I've heard of some multiple lawmakers, and I'm not privy to these, you know, these internal caucus discussions, but I've had at least four or five lawmakers tell me.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you, when you have the leadership, which is for the undermining of the Alabama Ethics Commission and for more gambling in Alabama, there's such things as talking points. So I don't doubt that they got four or five talking points. They want to keep making the same ridiculous, unfounded assertions.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think is their motivation here? Is it just so they can get more of the benefits of being a lawmaker without having the hassle of the ethics law, or are there good faith? Are they just
follow the money? Follow the money.
You think it's that?
It's follow the money. Used to be back in the good old days before Bob Riley and the reforms, these guys could make $250 per day and take it from multiple sources. That really adds up, and that's the way they got around it. They don't get paid enough to be legislators. Well, they're giving themselves a relief act on that now. There's three different ways that they're going to be able to get unlimited sums of money that are not even required to be disclosed. And there's a big, huge gap and a big rollback and a big relaxation on what has been a gift ban. In fact, I call it a gift allowance. And any lawyer in Montgomery is going to, for the one who has the, you know, the wherewithal to make sure the lawyer can navigate him through it, is going to be able to have a Brinks truck back up to his house. And that's where it's at. Now, who is it that might be getting ready to give those kind of sums of money? Well, back in the day, it was Milton McGregor back in the good old days. You know, back when the green tracks and all those tracks and everything. Those are the guys who have lucrative sums of money, but they maintain that position through legislative powers and controls. It's the same old Democratic machine, which is now back at the trough because you don't have hard-charging, chip-on-the-shoulder Republicans who understand human nature and what happens to these guys once they cross the Alabama River. That's exactly what it is, and I'm a subject matter expert. My father was a Democrat, the chairman of the Rules Commission, the Rules Committee in the Senate back in 70s and 80s, and we saw the influence of these gamblers trying to come in. And gamblers and that kind of money and the allure of that kind of money is what causes people to act different. And what I'm concerned about is all these freshman House members that said, I'm a principled conservative Christian. Well, to us, when you go down and vote for 10 casinos and internet gambling and sports betting, and you want to roll back and relax the ethics laws at the same time, that is a false advertising scenario going on. That's not what most of us Mauls and Pauls thought they meant when they said, well, I'm a conservative, principled Christian. I mean, I hate to report that. I know these guys. I give them money. I'm highly disappointed. Some of them money anyway. I'm highly disappointed. They're listening. I've texted them and told them, gentlemen, you work for the public of Alabama. Ladies and gentlemen, we have expectations. And it's not to go down there and give us all the gambling in the world and roll back the ethics laws and lie about us along the way. I said, lie about us along the way. Am I speaking strong? I certainly am. And I would love for them to come on the air and talk with me and debate this thing.
Well, Stan, we're a little time, but we'll get you out of here on this. I guess my takeaway from our discussion right now, listening to you, is maybe gambling has something to do with the motivation here on this ethics stuff.
You know, I'm entitled to my opinion, and that is definitely my strong opinion. And I've been watching it for 45 years. And when I see people acting inconsistent and different, and I was a deputy chief of staff down there when I was 25 years old. I went through the McGregor years. I went through the years leading up to 2010. In 2010, there was upheaval in Montgomery, Alabama, because people finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And as they say, things go in cycles. And this thing is, the clouds are starting to pull together again. The machine is back intact. The machine is back in place. And I know them, and I recognize them, and I understand I'm an old enough man right now to where a lot of my younger folks hadn't seen it. But I'm telling you, I know it when I see it, and I don't like the way that they are positioning this thing. They know that I know. I promise you, they do, and they're listening.
Stan, we got to get out of here, out of time, but thanks for coming on, and I'm happy to have these discussions further if time permits.
Thank you.
All right, we got to get a break in here, guys. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times.